الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 30th of April in the year 2018 and alhamdulillah we're steadily going through the glorious month of Sha'ban so we pray to almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he blesses us in our months of Rajab and Sha'ban and convey us safely to the holy month of Ramadan. Ameen. And the last thing I mentioned was the awesome recital of our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to reiterate, in Kanzul Umal, number 39,342, and Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi stated da'if in his da'iful jami, number 4,157. Our beloved messenger is reported to have said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once the believers listen to the Qur'an from the supremely merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of resurrection, it will then be as if they had never heard it before. I.e. such would be its unparalleled beauty. Subhanallah. So, in Jannah, inshaAllah, you will have the honor, incredible honor of seeing Almighty Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, which I mentioned yesterday. When you see your loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will stop every other blessing. That would be the greatest blessing. But this report mentions that you will only truly understand the beauty of the Quran when the one whose words it is recites it. So think about that. So when people say they're blown away from a recital of the Quran, obviously, mashallah, sometimes you hear an incredible recital. Yet, all of that will pale into insignificance when you hear the glorious Quran from the Almighty and glorious Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique. He is Ahad, the unique. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was asked about the attribute Ahad, and they posed the question, does it mean one? Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. He said no, because there's something before one. He goes, Ahad means unique, because there's nothing comparable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not everything about our Lord is awesome, and His recital will truly be awesome. Indeed, the glorious Quran, the very speech of our exalted and majestic Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, contains endless miracles. Take for instance the following few examples from a court Lord of Glen. So obviously you'd expect this. You'd expect amazing statements to be made in the glorious Qur'an. And always bear in mind the Qur'an in human terms was revealed 1,400 plus years ago. So the first, entitled, The Seven Earths. So where's that mentioned? In Surah At-Talaq, Surah 65, verse 12, our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنَّ It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created the seven heavens and of the earth the like thereof. So in this holy verse, verse 12 of Surah Talaq, it clearly mentions there are seven heavens and وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنَّ and the like of which there are the earths, i.e. seven. In Sahih Bukhari, number 3024, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever takes a piece of the land of others unjustly, he will then sink down the seven earths, i.e. as a punishment. Whoever takes a piece of the land of others unjustly, he will then sink down the seven earths, i.e. as a punishment. So now this narration clearly indicates that the seven earths being referred to is no other than the layers of this very earth of ours. Because the question is posed, the Quran says seven heavens, seven earths. But does that mean seven other earths like our earths? Or is it referring to this earth and the layers of the earth? So definitely it's referring to this earth. How do we know? Because of the hadith in Bukhari Sharif. The Prophet clearly said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever takes a piece of the land of others unjustly, he will sink down the seven earths. Ayah is a punishment. So now what has science discovered? Sheikh Zaghlul al-Najjar, Hafizahullah, he clarified in his work, an entry to studying the scientific miraculousness of the glorious Quran and the purified prophetic Sunnah. Page 545 of the English translation. So this is the respected Sheikh. He is well known, he is well versed in the material sciences, and he's also a scholar. So in his work, he mentions seven zones forming the earth whereupon we live. Firstly, the solid core. The diameter of this solid core amounts to 2,402 kilometers. So this is the first layer. It's called the solid core. The Shaykh then says, secondly, the outer liquid core. It is a semi-liquid zone. Its thickness amounts to 2,275 kilometers. So what's the first zone of the earth? The solid core. The second, the outer liquid core. The Shaykh continues. Thirdly, the lower mantle. A solid zone which encompasses the outer liquid core of the earth. Its thickness amounts to about 2,215 kilometers. So what's the third layer of earth? The lower mantle. The Shaykh continues. Fourthly, the middle mantle. It is a solid zone which thickness amounts to 270 kilometers. Fifthly, the upper mantle of the lithosphere of the earth. It is a soft semi-molten zone. This zone is known as the asthenosphere. Its thickness ranges between 335 to 380 kilometers. So this is the fifth zone of the earth. It's got two names. The upper mantle of the lithosphere or asthenosphere. The Shaykh continues. Sixthly, the lower lithosphere. Its thickness ranges between 57 to 60 kilometers. Under the floors of the oceans and seas. Seventhly, the crust of the earth, or the upper lithosphere. Its thickness ranges between 5 to 8 kilometers. Under the floors of the seas and oceans, this zone is basically composed of granitic rocks. So now, obviously, he's using scientific terms. But what is the Shaykh very simply elucidating upon? There are seven layers of earth. What are these seven layers? So a person who's a geologist or is well aware of this, you say to him, what's the solid core? What's the outer liquid core? What's the lower mantle? What's the middle mantle? What's the upper mantle of the lithosphere? What is the lower lithosphere? What is the crust of the earth or the upper lithosphere? Immediately he'll say, seven layers of earth. Ask them, how did you discover this? And they will say to you, obviously, well, you know, recent findings, blah, blah, blah. Scientific technology, this, that, the advancement in geology, blah, blah, blah. After he's finished hoofing and puffing, you say, so you discovered it recently. Yes. How could these facts have been known to mankind over 1,400 years ago? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He's created the seven earths and of the earth the like thereof. The Prophet said, sinking down the seven earths. If he had made a mistake, he's not the messenger of God. Then Allah alayhi salam. But how can he make a mistake when the one who created the universe is talking? So note, even to laymen like ourselves, you can appreciate, you know, the preciseness here mentioned in both the Quran and the Sunnah, which the Shaykh highlighted. A second, entitled, A Fire Under the Sea. So look how strange the title. A Fire Under the Sea. Shaykh Zaghlul al-Najjar, he relates in his work, an entry to studying the scientific miraculousness of the glorious Quran and the Purified Prophetic Sunnah, page 553 of the English translation, quoting, when the scientists descended to the depths of the oceans and the sea after the Second World War in search for some mineral resources, they were stunned by their discovering a chain of volcanic mountains which are spreading amidst the entirety of the oceans of the earth and runs for tens of thousands of kilometers, which they have named the mid-oceanic ridges. Then the Shaykh says, by studying these mid-oceanic ridges, it became evident that these rocky volcanic magma had outpoured in the form of such immensely feverish volcanic eruptions through such an immense network of faults which break up the lithosphere of the earth in all directions, all the while encompassing the entirety of the earth. Simply put, after 1945 World War II, they went down and they wanted, and their intention was to find mineral resources. To their shock, they found a mountainous field and they called it the mid-oceanic ridges. They discovered it was produced obviously by volcanic eruptions under the ocean. Then on page 264 of his work, the respected Sheikh elaborated further. The entirety of the oceans of the earth, including the Arctic and Southern Ocean, and that of a number of the floors of the seas, such as the Red Sea, are blazing with rocky magma, which is outpouring in millions of tons from the asthenosphere, i.e. the fifth earth as mentioned earlier. So basically, constant upheaval all over the earth, the oceanic floor. And where is the source? The fifth earth. Through the network of huge faults which split the entirety of the lithosphere and asthenosphere of the earth, i.e. the fifth earth downwards, this network of the gigantic deep faults are basically concentrated in the floors of the oceans and seas. In addition, the amount of water in these huge basins at the bottom of the oceans and seas, despite their immensity, cannot totally quench the blaze of these overflowing rocky magma. And this blaze, with temperatures which amount to more than 1000 degrees centigrade, cannot evaporate the entirety of the water. Thus, this perfect equilibrium between the two opposites is the most astounding phenomena for scientists nowadays. A fact which has been discovered lately during the late 60s and early 70s of the 20th century, simply put. At the bottom of the ocean bed, the volcanic magma reaches incredible heats, 1000 degrees centigrade. But there's so much water from the ocean bed that they're holding each other at bay. One is not putting the other out. Then the Shaykh said, this is why I mentioned it, what is astonishing in this regard is that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had not sailed in the sea along his honorable life once, he said in one of his hadith, where's his hadith? In Abu Dawood, number 2489, Bayhaqi Sa'id ibn Mansur ibn Abi Shaybah, Abdullah ibn Amr, radiyallahu anhu, relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let not any one of you embark upon the sea unless he be someone who seeks to perform the Hajj, Umrah, or striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For there is a fire under the sea, and under the fire there is a sea. So imagine, 1400 years ago, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't travel on the sea unless you're doing Hajj, Umrah and Jihad. Then he told you why. He goes, there's a fire under the sea. Be honest. 1400 years ago, they probably think, what did he just say? There's a fire under the sea and under the fire there's a sea, meaning it's not putting each other out. So how could anybody have known this? What a strange statement even to today's people. You ask laymen, say, is there fire under the sea? Come on, stop eating those kebabs. That's what you're talking about, fire under the sea. Water puts out fire. Even today people would react like that. And you say, well, I think you should go and research it. And he says, why are you so interested in fire under the sea? And he finds, oh yeah, you're right. That's interesting. But why did you mention that? I didn't mention it. Who mentioned it? You're not going to believe it, John. A man in the desert 1,400 years ago who never set sail once on the sea in his life. He said that. So what's his response going to be? Jaw's going to drop. Prove it. There you go. That's number one. In the Quran, in Surah At-Tur, Surah 52, verse 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْدِ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَالْبَحْرِ الْمَسْجُورِ, and by the sea that is set ablaze. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says himself, وَالْبَحْرِ الْمَسْجُورِ, and by the sea that is set ablaze. What does this mean? In Hakim, in his Mustadrak 4-8762, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih, Sayyidina Ya'la ibn Umayyah radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sea will be the hellfire. The sea will be the hellfire. This narration baffled our pious predecessors, but now with the advancements of science as proven, it makes complete sense. Subhanallah, consider also the words of the Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali. Look at these amazing conversations taking place 1,400 years ago. In Qurtubi, Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir, in their respective tafsirs, Marif al-Quran, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, rahmatullah alayhi, relates, Sayyidina Ali once inquired from a Jewish man, where is hell? The Jewish man said, it's in the sea. Hazrat Ali thereupon said, I think he is truthful. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ, when the seas become a blazing fire. Surah Al-Takwir, Surah 81, verse 6. So straight away again, even in the modern 2018 year we're living, we will think this whole conversation is just nonsensical. Where's the hell? The last thing you'd expect a person to say is, it's in the sea. And then you'd expect a laughter. No laughter. Hazrat Ali confirmed it. I think he's telling the truth. Because the Quran says, when the seas become a blazing fire, those, just as the sun and the moon, will also become fuel for the hellfire, as mentioned in other reports. The same would be true of the oceans of the earth. The hadith mentions the sun will be thrown into the fire, it will become the fuel of hell, and the moon. This is a hadith in Bayhaqi and Mishkat. Somebody questioned Abu Huraira about this. And he goes, I'm quoting you from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you want to know how or why? Meaning accepted. The sun is the fuel of the fire. It's been thrown in. Imagine, look at the sun, how much energy it's got. It's still up energy when it be thrown into the fire. Imagine. The moon, people worshipped it. Also this fire under the sea, Allah Ta'ala is going to make that part of the fuel for the fire as well. But nowhere on earth could you have known this, let alone 1,400 years ago, even going back a few centuries, or even a century. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the messenger of Allah. He's making statements, whether you understand it or not. But the beautiful thing is, we don't look at that. We're looking at the command. What did he say? Only go on the sea. If you're going to do jihad, Hajj and Umrah. The science bit is just an extra little bonus for this. But because Muslims are weak, they're more fascinated by the science now. What about the command the Prophet gave? Right? And it's true. You know, when you actually stand at the, you know, at the seashore, it's a tremendous creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're riding it. Imagine, even today on the news, this guy was riding a wave. Right? Because he brought the world record with Kachan. Right? What's he doing? You know, I actually saw it. It's like a mountain wave and his little bit. And he actually, like, did a circle on the screen. And he's riding a wave. I think, subhanAllah, you know, what is insan doing now? Well, because one of them, wave crashed on him and he, you know, came out with catch off, right? And the other one, you know, he managed to wave it. MashaAllah, you want a gold medal for it? That's the put it. Another sign. Question. The earth was it initially covered in water? There's another question. So what's this initial earth? What was it like? So we got a hadith. And Abu al-Sheikh Abd ibn Humayd ibn Jarir, Hafiz Azraqi in his tarikh Makkah, Ad-Dur al-Manthud 1-310. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the holy Kaaba was the first thing which emerged on the surface of the water at the time of the creation of the heavens and the earth. And then from underneath it, the earth was spread. So let's say that hadith again. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? The Kaaba, where did it emerge from? It emerged on the surface of the water. No mention of land. On the surface of the water at the time of the creation of the heavens and the earth. And then from underneath it, the earth was spread. This is the first hadith. Second, in Tabari in his Tafsir 3-61, it's Hassan. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, the house, i.e. the holy Kaaba, was placed over the water on four pillars. 2,000 years before this world was created. Then the earth spread out from underneath the house. So it predates, the Kaaba predates the world basically. This is number one. But what was there before the world? Water. So what have they discovered? Sheikh Zaghlul al-Najjar have clarified in his work, An Entry to Studying the Scientific Miraculousness of the Glorious Quran and the Purified Prophetic Sunnah, page 564 of the English translation. This honorable hadith astounded scientists in the past and recent times, contains such an astonishing scientific fact which man has only perceived during the midst of the 60s of the 20th century. After such a long, exhaustive researches, wherein which thousands of scientists have participated for centuries studying, it was finally proved that the elementary earth was totally immersed by water, to the extent that nothing of it appeared on the surface of the water. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that the flow of this overwhelming ocean be split apart by such violent volcanic eruptions, which kept on throwing out lava, which kept on accumulating, forming a mid-oceanic ridge in this submerging ocean. Simply put, now it's fact. So imagine you go to a, you know, I'm just a layman, but this is the beauty of our deen. When Allah Ta'ala speaks, we don't need confirmation. We just want you to verify it. So imagine you go up to the top scientists of the world, NASA and all these, you know, Harvard and Oxford. You know, elementary earth, was it submerged in water? He goes, how did you know that? And he goes, through my research. Because what research did you do? Our Prophet. Because what did he say? He said, the first thing which emerged on the surface of the water was the Kaaba. Underneath it, the earth spread. Note also that Makkah al-Mukarramah has been described in the Quran in two places by a title. In Surah Al-An'am, Surah 6 verse 92, Surah Al-Shura, Surah 42 verse 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ummul Qura, the mother of cities. So what does Allah the Almighty and Glorious call Makkah al-Mukarramah? He calls it the mother of cities. What is mentioned in the hadith? In Tabarani, Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman, Tabari in his Tafsir 6-20, Ibn al-Mundir, Ad-Dur al-Mandur 2-265, is Hassan. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he said, radiyallahu anhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the house 2,000 years before the earth, then the earth spread out from beneath it. Meaning, lo and behold, they have proven that the center of the earth is no other than the holy city, Makkah. So then you go, hang on a minute. Right? So you go to a non-Muslim, what's the center of the earth? And if he's not, you know, biased to anything, he'll tell you straight, it's Makkah. Makkah is the center of the earth. What's the center of Makkah? Right? And then you'll, obviously, you won't have a clue. I'll tell you. It's the holy Kaaba. So the center of the earth is the holy Kaaba. I'll tell you something else. the earth spread from underneath the Kaaba. Because the Quran calls it the mother city. You come from your mother. Umm al-Qura, the mother city. Question, 1,400 years ago, a man was telling us this. Because this city that I was born and I've been growing up in, this is the mother city. And the earth spread from underneath the Kaaba. And initially the earth's surface was full of water. I want you to explain to me, Bob, right, how a man 1,400 years ago is blasting you with science. And he's never said sail once in his life. What's his response going to be? You can't even say lucky guess, because it's a guess after a guess. You can't even add that. So you have to explain to me where he's saying, look, he's the messenger of God. So Allah is proving that what he's telling you is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's rational, reasonable. Nobody knew on the surface of the earth what was going on at that time. You've discovered it now with science. How do you explain that? Now what do you notice about the Quran? That's why it's the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meanings just go on endless. We're reading the Quran, we should be thinking these are preserved, protected words that nobody can find fault with. In another fascinating report, look how interesting. In Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman, it's a Mursal Hadith, Mujahid relates, rahmatullahi, that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Haram, the sanctuary of Makkah, is parable to the seven heavens and the seven earths. That's the Hadith. The Haram, the sanctuary of Makkah, is parable to the seven heavens and seven earths. What does this mean? Sheikh Zaghlul al-Najjar clarified in his work, An Entry to Studying the Scientific Miraculousness of the Glorious Quran and the Purified Prophetic Sunnah, page 568 of the English translation. The honored Kaaba, located amidst the first earth, there are six earths underneath it. Hence, it is parable to the seven heavens above and the seven earths below. So the Prophet was actually telling you, there's a system here you haven't realized. Allah likes the number seven, you know, is this. Somebody asked Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he asked Abdullah ibn Abbas in Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, when is the night of Qadr? When do you think that holy night is, when everything multiplies more than 1,000 months? So he says, I think it's the 27th. He says, why did you say that? All of a sudden, Ibn Abbas started saying sevens. He goes, there's 7 days in a week. There's seven heavens. There's seven earths. Man goes through seven different stages in creation. You do tawaf around the Kaaba 7 times. You do sa'i 7 times. You throw stones at the shaitan 7 times. 7, 7, 7, 7. Because therefore, I think it's 27th. And Umar radiallahu anhu then said to the other sahab, write it down. What did he just say? Because you all lose this wisdom. And here again, note again. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Haram is parable to the seven heavens and the seven earths. Why do you think we do 7 circuits around the Kaaba? People ask these questions. Because why don't you do 6, brother? Why don't you do 8? Because it breaks the system. Because what do you mean breaks the system? What system? There's 7 earths. There's 7 heavens. So I think 7 is the most appropriate number to. Because why go anti-clockwise? You know, wear that one out. Let science discover that one. So this is another amazing thing mentioned in the glorious Quran. Another question. The same amount of rainfall every year. So I'm going to mention first what the Quran and the Hadith mentions, then give you the science. So firstly in the Quran, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Surah 23 verse 18, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً بِقَدَرٍ فَأَسْقَنَّاهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ And we sent down water from the sky in due measure. And we caused it to settle in the earth. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Water that comes from the sky doesn't come down haphazardly. It comes down بِقَدَرٍ Surah 23 verse 18. بِقَدَرٍ And it lodges into the earth. Now the hadith. In Bayhaqi in his Sunan al-Kubra, number 6275, Hakim in his Mustadrak 2-403, Sahih. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, they both relate that the Prophet said, there is no year which is less than another year in rain. There is no year which is less than another year in rain. So somebody goes to you, in 1924, how much rain was there? Same as 1923. And he goes, and what about 1964? Same. 1985, same. 2017, same rain. Not one drop more. That's our belief. Hassan al-Basri further clarified, rahmatullah alayh, in Abu al-Shaykh, in his Al-Azamah, number 761, Hassan, with every raindrop there is an angel, alayhi salatu wasalam, who descends with it until he places it where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. Meaning, it's not just happening. When you walk through a shower of rain, and let's say 10,000 raindrops hit you, that was determined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An angel says, one on his head, one on his ear, one on his everything, determined. What have they found out? Sheikh Zaghlul al-Najjar, he clarified in his work, an entry to study in the scientific miraculousness of the glorious Quran and the purified prophetic Sunnah, page 248 of the English translation. The annual average rainfall on earth amounts to 84.7 cubic centimeters. It ranges between 11.45 cubic meters in the Hawaiian Islands and zero in many deserts. Then on page 562-3 of his work, the respected Sheikh clarified further. In fact, the annual water cycle around the entirety of the earth is such a stunning, miraculous cycle with such precision, which testifies for the absoluteness of the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, and the stunning magnificence of His innovation and the perfect fashioning of the creation. What is miraculous in this regard is that these accurate and precise observations, which man managed to unveil only during the latter decades of the 20th century, were stated before them by more than 14 centuries in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah. So he goes into the details. It's to do with the water cycle. And they've worked it out scientifically that there's exactly the same water that takes place due to the body of water under the earth. But the water cycle, and that is what Allah Ta'ala was hinting towards when he said in the verse, we send down water from the sky in due measure, we cause it to settle in the earth. Question. Even if you was to say to somebody, same rain every year, brother. Come on, brother. How are you going to prove that, first of all? It's just a statement that nobody can prove. Bob's proved it. John's proved it. NASA's proved it. Harvard's proved it. Oxford proved it. That's interesting. That's not interesting. This is interesting. Allah told you that 1,400 years ago, and so did His messenger. That, I want you to explain. How did he know? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in Sahih Bukhari, he goes, prophets were given signs which wish to convince the people. He goes, I have been given revelation, and I hope through this I will have the most people who believe. So again, note everything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ajeeb. We talked about His vision yesterday, ajeeb. We talked about His speech yesterday, ajeeb. Now we're talking about His speech again, in the sense of science catching up like a snail. And guess what? It's the same Quran that's been recited over 1,000. Nothing's changed, brother. Even the non-Muslims said everything there is what was revealed to Muhammad. They even admitted it. They've given up on it. So when nobody can say somebody's inserted that meaning, no. Your own men and women have testified this is the same Quran. Question. Why did God see fit to preserve the Quran, which isn't His book, and not see fit to preserve other scriptures, which yours say is from Him? So you go to the Christians. The Bible you've got, is it from God? Yes. Why is it? Prove it. He goes, there's 50,000 manuscripts. But my dear brother, each manuscript is different. Which one did you pick? Right? Why didn't God see fit to preserve the Bible? And the Torah is even more ancient. And yet, He goes out of His way to preserve a book that you say doesn't belong to Him. So note again, When we say we believe, yes, believe means to believe in the unseen. But in reality, your iman can get so strong that believing and not believing in the, believing or seeing the unseen makes no difference. And all praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such priceless gifts. Are there any questions you have? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الى امرئ الاسلام سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل في الانسان في خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل الحق وواصل السبيل